much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, along with Tim Marks on the board and Derek on the phone lines. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to Live the Promise. A very happy Friday to you, and so glad you joined us today. Well, today is the great Mother's Day giveaway. We've been prepping you for this, and we're so excited about it. This is the day I went shopping last night. I got a couple of great, wonderful gift baskets, which actually turned out better than I even anticipated. And I would guesstimate, because there's a couple books in here too, that each of these baskets are worth about $50. And so what I've been prepping you for all week, I want you to know now we're going to open the phone lines right away. Want to hear your mom's story. So maybe you've got a story of your own mom, of a time she sacrificed for you, or you've got a funny moment, or maybe you're a mom and you've got something funny that your kids have said and done, and a predicament. You know, it can be heartfelt, it can be funny, and like I said, if you're a dude, we want to hear from you too, but the story has to involve a mom somehow. Your mom, your wife being a mom. We want to hear from you. So we've got two gift baskets, and everybody who calls in will get a book today, off of our Faith Radio shelf. And so we're going to announce at the end of the show the two best stories. So right away, I'm going to open the phone lines, 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Tell me a funny story. Tell me a heartfelt story, a sacrificial story. You've heard this one before. I've shared this a lot when I'm speaking, but my middle son, who is my strong-willed child, he used to love to just strip down naked to go to the bathroom. He's an adult now. He doesn't do that anymore. But anyway, he was so chubby, and he was, I don't know, like 4 years old, and he was, stripped down naked going to the bathroom, and he yells down the hall, "Mom, are you sure I'm supposed to ask Jesus into my heart?" And I was so delighted with the question, so I yell back, "Yes, honey," and I'm about to answer why, and he goes, "'Cause I think I asked him into my stomach." This thing is huge. And so anyway, it was a funny moment. So I see the calls coming in already. In just a moment, my friend Kendra Smiley is going to join us. But I got to tell you what's in this gift basket. Oh, my goodness. A book by Kendra. She's got two different books in the different baskets. And then a book by me, Growing Grateful Kids. So in one of the baskets, it's Do Your Kids a Favor, Love Your Spouse. And I think the other one is The Strong-Willed Child by Kendra. There are rose petals for your bath. They're rose-scented petals that you drop in your bath. Ghirardelli chocolate. There's lotion. There's jasmine bouquet candles. There is a little eye mask that says sweet dreams. There's a little microfiber thing that you put around your hair when you're washing your face. There's a bath pillow. This is so cool. I'm telling you what, you want to call in and give us your story. 877-933-2484. Tell us your fun mom story, your heartfelt story. In the meantime, I'm going to tell you about Kendra, my friend. Kendra Smiley is a popular speaker and author and hosts a daily radio show, Live Life Intentionally, heard coast to coast on over 150 stations, named Illinois, I'm telling you what, I've been saying this all week, Mother of the Year, 2 years in a row. She's a regular guest on radio and TV and writes a monthly column in Prairie Farmer magazine. She's the author of 9 books, including Be the Parent, Journey of a Strong-Willed Child, and Do Your Kids a Favor, Love Your Spouse. Kendra and her husband, John, co-lead parenting seminars and have a Parenting Like a Pro feature in Champaign, Illinois, ABC television affiliate, every Monday and Thursday morning. Kendra lives on a working farm in central Illinois. I've slept over before, so I know it's a great place. She is the parent of 3 grown sons and has 3 daughters-in-law and 4 granddaughters. Welcome to the show, Kendra. Glad to have you with us today.
It's great to be with you, Susie.
And I said, you know, this all week that you're sort of co-hosting with me, but we don't have the benefit of seeing each other. So we might talk over each other a tiny bit, but that's going to be half the fun, right?
At least half the fun.
Yeah.
Right.
So as you know, we always just start out talking about scripture. And so keeping with tradition, I wonder, is there a passage that God's been speaking to you about these days?
Well, I'll tell you my favorite piece of scripture, and it's John 8:32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I think that takes place as a mom, you know, looking at what the truth is here, not burying our heads in the sand, and in all aspects of life. And, of course, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm, very good. Well, you know, you heard my funny story about Lukey. Can you think of a funny story from when you were a mom, when your kids were young?
Am I limited to one funny
right.
story?
No, you can interject them throughout the whole hour.
Oh, I have a funny, rather embarrassing one. Do I dare
tell that one? That's the one we want to hear.
Oh, I can hear you. I thought of it the whole time you were sharing your story about your son. We have a home. Well, you've been to our home. It sounded like we were teenagers having a sleepover.
I know. Felt that. Like it, too, though.
yes, it did. Well, in our home, we have an open staircase upstairs, and John was the general contractor and did all the finishing work in our home. And so it took a little while. And in fact, some of it's still under construction, so to speak. But at one point, only the bathroom at the top of the stairs that was kind of now we refer to as the boys' bathroom, that was the only one that was functional upstairs, the only shower and bathtub we had in the house. The one off our bedroom wasn't finished yet. And so one day I was in that bathroom taking a shower, and I realized, oh, I hadn't brought my clothing in there. Oh, and so I thought, well, I could just wrap in a towel, you know, and go around the staircase to our bedroom. But I am sort of lazy sometimes. And I thought, if I do that, I'm going to have to bring the towel back. So let me see, what should I do? Well, I thought, okay, where are the kids? Okay, Matthew was in his bedroom, which is right by that bedroom, but the door was shut, and the other two boys were downstairs. I thought, well, no problem, right? My only tactical error was I decided to run so that it would be faster rather than tiptoe. And evidently when I run, I'm a little louder than I anticipated. So about the time I was rounding the curve and almost to the spot where I would have been safe, my eldest son opened the door and shouted at the top of his lungs, "Scarred, scarred for life." Now, I haven't checked with him in the last 20 years to make sure that was really true. But, yeah, that's one of my... Well, not so easy to tell yet. Always amusing.
Oh, that's
from raising
so good, Kendra. You got to keep them coming because we're going to want to hear those. We've got Liz from Ramsey, and she's got a great story about a 7-year-old daughter. Liz, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's hear it.
Oh, yes. My dear daughter, Lauren, was about 7, I suppose. She'd lost a tooth, and I had gone through the regular procedure, you know, the lying about the tooth fairy. It was starting to bother me. But she'd gone to bed, and I was sitting in the family room by myself, and she soon came out there and said, "Mom, is there really a tooth fairy? And don't say, what do you think?" And I said, "Okay, no, there is no tooth fairy." "Oh, okay. Well, then how does money get under my pillow?" I said, "Well, I come into your bedroom and put money under your pillow and take your tooth." "Oh, well, why don't I ever see you do that?" "Well, because I wait until you're asleep, and then I go in there and do it." "Oh, okay." And she went back to bed. And a couple minutes later, she came back out there and she said, "Mom, can you do that before I go to sleep?" And I said, "Sure, I'd be happy to." So she went back to bed. I waited a couple minutes and went in there with my two quarters or whatever. And I saw her looking at me in the dim light as I took the tooth, put the money in, not a word was said, and I went back out in the family room. Next morning, when she got up, she came out there and said, "Mommy, Mommy, I saw the tooth fairy." And my heart kind of lurched. And then she said, "I saw the tooth fairy, and she's really pretty. She looks just like you."
Oh.
I put 75 cents
that.
Next time.
That's right.
Yeah, no
put
kidding.
Some greenbacks under that pillow for that girl. Very good, Liz. Well, you have to listen all the way through the end of the show. Make sure you give Derek your address. He does have the calls coming in. What a great story. How about you? We want to hear from you. We've got two beautiful gift baskets to give away, and everybody else who gets on the air gets a book. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. So this is another one I've told, and I want you to be ready, Kendra, with another one. But my strong-willed son is where I get most of my material, as I'm sure is the case with you, Kendra. But he was laying on the floor. I don't know. He was in second grade or something doing a puzzle. The doorbell rang, and Kevin, my husband, whisked by Luke and accidentally bumped his elbow, which barely made his own knuckles touch his face. My hubby's down on the front step talking to a total stranger, and Luke had this way of acting very respectful at all the wrong times to give him a measure of credibility, which bugged me so bad because he came out and raised his hand. "Excuse me, Papa?" And Kevin says, "Yes, honey." And he said, "I just want you to know I forgive you for kicking me in the head just now." And I'm like, if that boy doesn't get taken away from us by the time he's 13. Anyway, so how about you? What do you got? Give me another one.
Oh, okay. Well, now I told one about my oldest son. We have three sons, and I'm actually going to tell one about our youngest. He was the only one home. Finally, the other boys went to college. He's 4 years behind son number two. And the first time the other two boys were home from college, we were all sitting at the dining room table, and the oldest son, acting as though John and I, my husband and I, weren't really there, said to his youngest brother, "So, how is it with just you and the folks now here at home?" And Jonathan kind of took a deep breath, and he said, "You know, it's really not bad, except I am the only one here to amuse Mom." Which is so much truth in that. I do appreciate my son's amusing me.
That's so good. How is it? Oh, that's good. Okay, Lois has been waiting from Fergus Falls.
I got to go.
What?
Hi.
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 Yeah, you tell your friend you have to go. You're on live radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a mom myself sitting in a schoolyard.
Oh, that's funny.
I have to tell you about my mother. My mother is turning 89 this month, and she's had Alzheimer's. I'm sorry, I might get choked up, but she's had Alzheimer's probably about 13 years.
Mm.
And since about 2007, we realized Dad was getting a little bit of dementia himself, so that wasn't going to work, that they could take care of each other. So kind of a very difficult few years, and she'd been in and out of my home during that time as part of a placement. You know, I mean, she just lived with me. A few different funny things she said. It was kind of hard to get her into the shower. People with Alzheimer's don't tend to like showers for some reason, and finally I got her in. It's quite a struggle. And she said, this feels good. And I said, "Yeah, Mom, I think you like to take a shower. You used to like to take a shower." And she said, "Well, that's before I knew what it was."
and then, don't try to fool me now.
That's right.
Yeah. And then another time, just in the middle of the night, she was up, and my dear daughter was trying to get her back to bed. "Grandma, it's 3:00 in the morning. You have to go to bed." And my mom said, "Well, if I knew what that meant." But my favorite one is we were all sitting around the table, and I'm sorry, I'm being distracted by my children. 10 of us around the table. I have a few children myself, and apparently my mom enjoyed the meal. She said, "Oh, this is luscious. You must have had a wonderful mother."
Oh,
my favorite one.
Oh, that's precious.
And I tell you what, we just all laughed, and I had to say, "Absolutely, Mom. I had a wonderful mother.
Oh,
I have a wonderful mother."
That is beautiful. Lois, thank you. That's just a great, great call. God bless you. How about you? We've got a couple of beautiful gift baskets to give away, full of girly foo-foo stuff. Only a girl would love this basket. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. We're going to listen to a clip from Bill Cosby while we wait for your calls. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Kendra about one of her great books, Be the Parent. Man, this is an important book. So give us a call. We've got these great baskets just for you. 877-933-2484.
Mothers are beautiful. They are really beautiful. For one real reason. They cry for anything. Any reason they cry, man. You could find a piece of wood in the gutter. A piece of old raggedy wood. Just a piece of wood. And you don't even have to wipe it off. Just take your little penknife and put a nick in it. And just carry it on home to her. And say, "Look, Mom, see what I made for you?" Your mother will say, "Oh, my goodness. You made this, honey. You just come here. I forgive you for everything." See, that's where mothers have it over fathers, man.
I love it.
Sorry. I need a minute. I want to laugh about that. 877-933-2484. Let's talk as we wait for these calls. Derek's got his work cut out from over there as we wait for these calls to come in. You talk about proactive parenting. What is that?
Planning ahead. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Susie, if we always planned ahead when it comes to parenting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we pull into the parking lot of the pizza joint and we say, "Now, honey, there's going to be a lot of adults at our table. So what I'd like you to do when you're finished, I've brought some color crayons and you and Mom, we'll just sit in color and it'll all be wonderful." But you know what happens too many times is we get to the pizza joint, we have the pizza, she's done, no one else is, and the poor child is bored to death because we haven't even thought about bringing anything to amuse her. It's wonderful. Proactive parenting is wonderful. It's thinking and planning ahead, but realizing it's not always possible.
Right, but it is so for you and for them. It just does waylay a lot of issues. Yeah. Okay, we've got Carol from Columbia Heights, and while we take her call, I want to pitch the number again, 877-933-2484. Trust me, you want this basket. We have two of them to give away. Carol, welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. Let's hear your story.
Well, I have a story about one of my friends. I have one of my friends that are such wonderful moms. This mom lives in Hennepin County, and she has five of her own children. Two have graduated, and they have, for the last 4 years, they've been taking in foster children who are deaf, and I think they might be one of the only foster families that do this because they have a son who is deaf, and they have a little girl now who they probably will adopt, and she has vision issues, hearing issues. She started like kind of a preschool or kindergarten. She has, so Monday through Friday she drives to St. Paul over off of Snelling and something to take this little girl to school every day. It drops off her son, who's deaf, at the school. And then she goes several times a week for counseling with this little girl. But I've seen this little girl blossom in the year that they've been there because their children can sign. And their family, and Becky's my mom. She's a stay-at-home mom. And this little girl, every child that's been with them has just blossomed under their care. Mm. And it's just
great, very inspiring.
Just like God taking us into His care and how we can blossom, and it just inspires me.
Wow, that's really wonderful.
And how wonderful for her that she has a friend like you who really sounds like you're a great encourager and you appreciate what she does. That's a gift that you're giving to her.
Absolutely, and I'm sure that if you win, you're going to share the basket with her too.
Can we get that in writing?
Right. All right. We're looking at Bonnie from Duluth. Welcome to the show, Bonnie.
Hi, Susie.
How are you?
I'm good, but my story is not a happy, well, like it is.
It's all right. It doesn't have to be funny.
Okay. And I kind of wrote it down, so I hope it does. It's okay if I read it. It's pretty short.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. On this day 20 years ago, I drove from St. Paul to Duluth to pick up my mom and then took a round trip drive to the Twin Cities so my mother, who did not drive, could see her mother, who had just suffered a severe stroke. My mom wanted to see her mom for Mother's Day. While driving back to Duluth, my mom opened up and told her then very immature 35-year-old daughter, who would be me, of past transgressions she needed to confess to someone she trusted. Although my actions and words towards my mom during the drive were gracious, inside I was angry. I felt as though my mom had dumped on me. The next day, Saturday, I went to buy a Mother's Day card, and in my anger, I wanted to buy a humorous, trivial card to give to the woman who bore and raised me. But while looking at the cards, the Holy Spirit placed before my eyes a very different card and told me to buy it, so I did. On Sunday morning, I gave my mom the card, a large bouquet of dried flowers I'd picked, and a box of chocolates. I kissed her and told her I loved her. 2 weeks later, my dad, who had been battling colon cancer for 2.5 years, died. 40 days after that, in unimaginable grief over losing her husband of 40 years, my mother took dad's remaining morphine pills and ended her own life.
Mm-hmm.
As I went through my parents' house in anguish and grief, I found something that both broke my heart and caused me to praise God. It was the last card I'd given to my mom for Mother's Day. On the front of the card was a painting of a mother tenderly holding her child. Inside the card were words of gratefulness for love, dedication, and care my mom had given me throughout my life. My mom had liked the card so much, she put it along with three of the dried flowers I'd given her that day, one for her, one for Dad, and one for me, in a frame she never got around to hanging. I'm eternally thankful, even 20 years later, that the Lord prompted me to buy a card which would let my mother know I indeed loved her. I miss my sweet and tender-hearted mom every day.
Oh, Bonnie, bless you. And what an example to be listening to the Spirit of God and kind of override your own emotions. Oh, that's just a great story, Bonnie. Thank you for sharing. We're going to go, Tim, to Rose from Edina, if we could. Bless you, Bonnie. Thank you so much.
Hi.
Hi, Rose. How are you?
I'm doing real good.
Good. And you have a story about a mom?
I do. It's about my mom. And as I'm on hold, she's clicking in on call waiting. But I couldn't answer because I have to sing her praises to you.
Yeah. What kind of daughter are you? You're the good kind. Let's hear it.
Well, a few years ago when I had bought my first home, I was discombobulated. There were boxes everywhere and just a path or two to walk through. And I just felt so alone because she and my dad had moved out of town to take care of her mom. And I called her one day. I was in the parking lot of a grocery store. And as I sat there, I called and the phone rang and she answered. And she said, "Hi, how are you?" I said, "I'm fine." She said, "How are you really?" And I burst into tears. "I need you." And here I am, an adult, but I needed her support. And she said, "I'll call you back in a little while." And a couple hours later, the phone rang, and she said, "Pick me up tonight at the airport." My mom dropped everything and came to support me.
Love that.
And I love her for that so much. And as soon as I hang up, I'm going to call her.
Yes.
And tell her that I called in to the station to lift her up, and I rise and call my mother blessed.
Rose, thank you for that, and what a wonderful tribute to your mom. And Kendra, isn't that just something, you know, that the whole the life of a mother is just constant love and sacrifice, but it's an honor to do so, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I remember, you know, when the babies were born, Dr. Tanner, who delivered all my sons, you know, he'd say, "I've cut the umbilical cord." And I remember thinking when my oldest son was actually in Turkey with the military, I remember thinking, you know, Dr. Tanner was pulling my leg.
Yeah.
Those umbilical cords are never cut. They just stretch a really long way.
All the way over to Turkey. You're so right. Yeah, you and I have talked about this, but being a mom, someone once said, is like having your heart walk around on the outside of your body. It's an amazing thing. Ken's been waiting very patiently from Mankato. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Well, hi. How are you?
How are you? I'm doing well.
Good.
Good.
Well, my mom turned 90 this year, and I heard your intro to the show, and I thought, you know, throughout my life, my mom has been always there for me and my two older brothers, and I was trying to think of a way that maybe a small way that illustrated that. When we were growing up, Dad was the only one that worked, so money was tight, and Mom always made us cold lunch, sack lunch. And usually it consisted of some type of fruit, grapes or an apple, bag of chips, and two full sandwiches. That's four slices of bread with what I found out later was a rather unique type of sandwich, peanut butter and Velveeta cheese. And I didn't know that that was an uncommon thing to eat until my friends kind of started looking at me funny when I was on the lunch table. But anyway, go ahead.
It filled you up, I bet.
Yes, it does. Anyway, for my entire school career, I had that kind of a lunch that my mom packed every single day, and other kids would go through the line with their little red tickets to get hot lunch. I would have my green ticket and get my milk, and until one day, about this time of year in my senior year, I decided I wanted to try hot lunch. So I said, "Mom, I think I'm going to try hot lunch today." And I tried it. It was so memorable, I can't remember what it was, but I remember coming home that day saying,
"Give me back my Velveeta."
Yeah, no more Velveeta. I remember saying to Mom, "Would you mind making me a sack lunch for the rest of my year?"
That's
with maybe
right.
2 weeks left of school.
Oh, bless you.
And I think back about it, and just a small way in the many ways that she's always been there for me, as was Dad when he was alive, too. But she was just the one that she was like the quiet, steady rudder in the house.
Yep.
Always, like your previous caller said, always sacrificing for the good of the kids. And,
well, Ken, thank you. Thank you so much. We're getting close to break, so I need to jump in here. But bless you. We've got your name written down. Make sure you give Derek your address. Now, that's very, very sweet. We have just 2 minutes to break, Kendra. And I see Cody, and I see Becky. I see you on the line holding, and we can't take your calls till just after the break. We're only breaking for about a minute. But as we lead up to the break, we've just got a couple minutes. I'd love for you to speak to the statement in your book that says, when you pick a battle, you must win.
Oh,
talk
absolutely.
About that.
You know, too many times, and I see it all the time as I sort of am observing parents, they'll tell their child, don't do such and such, and the child just almost does it immediately. And then I imagine that child looking at mom or at dad and saying, okay, come on, mm-hmm. what you got? You know, put up or shut up, what's your best shot here? Now, the truth is they're not uttering those words, but every child is hoping they can depend on their parents to, when they pick a battle, when mom and dad pick a battle, that they will follow through with a consequence. Now, they're not going to utter that. Oh,
yeah.
Please.
Where's the consequence, Mom?
Yeah. Exactly. But they are hoping that. I heard, our formerly strong-willed child turned responsible adult who co-authored the book Journey of a Strong-Willed Child. I one time heard him say, as we were speaking together, Mom and Dad, do you love your kids enough to maintain control?
Mm-hmm.
Good challenge.
It is excellent because it really does speak to love. It's easier not to.
It takes initiative.
It
does, definitely in the outset. Oh, gosh, took care of that. Yeah, but wait, next time you're going to be challenged.
Exactly.
And you're going to be challenged again and again and again.
Yeah, we have to win the battle. It communicates love, and it builds character in them.
Right.
Well, you're listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson alongside my friend Kendra Smiley. We're taking your calls today. We've got two beautiful gift baskets, all kinds of girly stuff, Ghirardelli chocolate cookies, a bath pillow, candles, a book from Kendra, a book from me. We want to hear your mom's stories. You can be a guy and call as well. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484.
What I have done is I have figured out what a mom would say in a 24-hour period, and I have condensed it to 2 minutes and 55 seconds. So strap on your seatbelt. Here we go. Get up out of bed, wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tall. Remember, the orthodontist will be seeing you at 3-2-1. Don't forget, your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you press play, don't shovel. Choose lovely, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside, don't play rope. Would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Work it out, wait your turn, never take a dare. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, fold your clothes, put your stuff away. Make a bed, do it now. Do we have all day? Were you born in a barn? Would you like some hay? Can you even hear a word I say? Answer the phone, get off the phone. Don't sit so close, turn it down. No texting at the table. No more computer time tonight. Your iPod's my iPod if you don't listen up. Where are you going and with whom and what time do you think you're coming home? Say thank you, please, excuse me, makes you welcome everywhere you roam. You'll appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. Can't wait till you have a couple little children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I gave you so willingly, but right now I thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew, we'd appreciate. Take a bite, maybe two, of the stuff you hate. Use your fork, do not burp, or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put up on your plate. Get an A, get a door, don't be smart with me. Get a grip, get in here, I'll count 2, 3. Get a job, get a life, get a PhD, get a go. So I don't care if you started, you're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? If I've said it once, I've said at least 1,000 times before that you're too old to act this way, and it must be your father's DNA. Look at me when I am talking, stand up straighter when you walk a place. For everything and everything must be in place. Stop crying or I'll give you something real to cry about. Oh! Brush your teeth, wash your face, put your PJs on, get in bed, get a hug, say a prayer with mom. Don't forget, I love you. And tomorrow we will do this all again, because we must work together. You don't need the reason why. Because. I said so. I'm the mom. The mom. Ta-da!
The mom. Boy, that's so good. The lines that stick out, were you born in a barn and if all your friends jump off a cliff? Boy, there's a lot of good stuff there. We want to hear from you. We've got two beautiful gift baskets to give away, and I'm estimating they're worth about $50 a piece. There's bath rose petals. There's candy melts. There's Ghirardelli candy. There's candles, books, bath pillow. Boy, we've got some good stuff. Cody's been waiting patiently on the line from Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Cody. Thanks for your patience.
Thank you so much.
Let's hear your...
It's been fun to listen to.
Good. Let's hear your story.
Well, when my oldest was 5, he and his little brother were playing in the other room while I was doing some dishes, and I heard some ruckus going on. And his little brother was pre-toddler years. He was just not talking hardly at all. He couldn't understand a word, but he was very verbal. And so I heard them kind of fighting back and forth, and I leaned my head around the corner, and I said, "What's going on?" And the oldest said, "Oh, nothing, Mom, we're just playing." And I said, "Well, keep it down, you know, take turns, share the game and whatever you're playing with." And I leaned back and started working on dishes again, and I heard the ruckus kick up again, and I leaned around the corner again, and no sooner could I ask what was going on than the little one started just babbling, and I looked at his big brother, and his big brother said, "He's lying to you, I didn't do it." And here, I didn't understand a word his little brother said, but I knew he was guilty of something.
Oh, that is so funny. Cody, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing. That reminds me of when my hubby had cancer. That part's not obviously the funny part, but the kids were all, none of them wanted to go play with their friends. They were all sitting together playing video games by their dad, who was under a blanket, kind of recovering from some radiation. Someone brought a meal, a really nice meal and some desserts that they would like. And I was trying to engage the kids. They were all into the video game. I said, "Boys, what do you say?" And on cue, all three of them turned, looked over their shoulder and said, "Sorry." And I'm like, wrong programmed response. Anyway, this is where we say thank you. Okay, Becky from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Let's hear your story.
I have a very strong-willed child. She's a straight-A student. And when she was 9 years old, I came in the kitchen, and she was over a kitchen chair with her stomach on the kitchen chair, on the chair, and her head on the floor, and a book underneath the chair. So her head was on the floor, and I said, "Honey, what are you doing?" She goes, "Well, I just couldn't concentrate, Mama." She said, "I had thought if I just let the blood run to my head, I could understand it."
Oh, that's good.
Next time, tell her to put it under her pillow. It's a lot better for your blood rushing to your head.
Very good. Okay, thanks so much. Patty from Waverly, Minnesota. Welcome to the show, Patty.
Thank you. I enjoy your show. It's just so, I don't know.
What's the word?
Inspiring, all the stories. But my story is about my daughter-in-law this week. Her name is Serenity. And her three-year-old strong-willed child said, "Mommy, I want a snack." And Serenity said, "Sure, I'll be right back. I just have to switch the clothes into the dryer." And so in the meantime, Ophelia opened the refrigerator door and got some cold macaroni and cheese, which she loves, and went to the living room and took the bowl and dumped it on the floor. And Serenity comes back, and she looks at Ophelia like, "What have you done?" And Ophelia said, "Mommy, I helped you. I got my own snack." And so she just looked at her and said, "That's such a good girl."
Yeah, what do you say to that, huh? Oh, Patty, thank you so much. Okay, we've got, who's the next one? I'm sorry, you told me again. Oh, Nancy from Fergus Falls. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. I love your show. It makes me laugh almost every day.
Oh, good. Let's hear your great story. Oh, this is going to be a heartfelt one, I can tell.
Well, yeah. Mm. I was almost 40 years old by the time I finally got married. So getting pregnant was something we wanted to do right away.
Mm.
And I was, 42 by the time I finally got pregnant. So she was going to be a very precious girl. And my mom, being 9 hours away down in Minneapolis, decided that she wanted to come and be with me during the time. So she had come a few days early hoping that, you know, that I would actually have the baby while she was there. And I did. I went into labor while mom was there. And there were some kind of complications and things. So I ended up having to go by ambulance down to Bismarck. And mom was trooper. She got in the front of the ambulance and rode down there with me. And my husband followed along in another car and met us down there. And and mom's intention was just to wait out in the waiting room, you know, and just to be an encouragement and be there. But I just told her, I said, "Mom, you're here. Just stay here with me, be here. So she was helping me through labor. My husband was on one side, she was on the other side, and she actually got to be there as the first grandchild, that she actually got to be in the room when the child was born. And I think there's just been a special bond between my daughter, who's now 8, and my mom. You know, my mom always just called her, oh, you're my special girl, my special girl. And she just cries. And
I love that.
It was such a special, you know, thing. You know, it's like she's our only child, but to actually have my mom there while she was born, she held her before I did. So
that's amazing.
That was really neat. But
Nancy, what I love about that is the tenacity of your mom. I'm going to be there. I mean, I get that. And, the tenacity of a mom, not going to miss these moments. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. We are taking your calls. I bet you we've got about 12 minutes left to take your calls. We've got these beautiful gift baskets to give away. We're going to choose the two best stories probably in about 12 minutes, and we'll announce the winners. But everybody else gets a book. Wanda from Minneapolis, let's hear your story. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I want to applaud my mother-in-law, who is actually closer to me than some mothers. Her name is Sonia, and my husband and I were missionaries for many years abroad and raised our children, 3 girls abroad. And Sonia made sure that our 3 girls had care packages every year for their birthdays and a very large box every year for Christmas. And now Sonia has Alzheimer's, and the last time we saw her, one thing she does remember to do every morning is to open her Bible and read her Bible. And all of her children are serving the Lord.
Wow.
She lived in very, very hard circumstances, but always supported us financially. I don't know how she did it, but when we're on the mission field, every month we get a financial check from Sonia, and we named our 2nd daughter after her to carry on this legacy of this woman of God.
Well, way to go to honor your mother-in-law. And, oh, I want to be that kind of mother-in-law. Wanda, thank you for telling us about her. God bless her. We got a handful of minutes left to take your calls. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We've got Heidi from Plymouth. Welcome to the show, Heidi.
Hi, Susie.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well.
So my story is about my mom. When I was 15, my parents divorced, and my biological father left my mom and I and took everything, all of the finances that they had, sold their house, and my mom started over from scratch and was left with all the debt from the divorce and a mortgage payment on a foreclosed house. And we moved into this tiny, tiny one-bedroom apartment, and we only had one bed. She and I shared a bed. And she actually took on extra jobs so she could put me through counseling. So it was just a really, really super hard time for me. But, you know, every Sunday she would get me up and she'd be like, you know, let's go to church, let's praise God. And, you know, at every turn she was always there just saying, Heidi, you know, where is God in your life? And she was so encouraging. She was so strong. I know it was so hard for her to lose her husband and to kind of lose everything. And she was so encouraging. And, you know, every day she would pray before I went to school, and she would call me in the afternoon when I got home because I'd be by myself. And she just really encouraged me and pushed me through high school. And she scrimped and saved and sacrificed so I could go to a Christian high school where I just really developed my faith. And she scrimped and saved so I could go to Northwestern College and ended up getting remarried, and she had always wanted more kids and ended up finding a wonderful husband who was widowed, and now she has 4 kids, and I'm married, and she has another granddaughter with my brother. It's my brother's daughter, so she's just been such an inspiration, and she's held the family through faith and, you know, bringing my step-siblings together after the loss of their mother, and she's just really brought an amazing amount of healing through the Lord, and her faith is just unbelievable.
Heidi, that is an amazing story. I'm sitting here with goosebumps on my arms, and she's got a beautiful daughter, and that you would honor her that way. Wow. Great story. Thank you so much. We've got just a few minutes left to take your calls, 877-933-2484. We've got Sarah from Blaine. Has got, it looks like, a cute story. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, Susie. I love your program.
Oh, I'm so glad.
You know, and I have a wonderful mother who I could tell so many stories about, and just so blessed to have the mother I have. But my story is about my 2-year-old daughter, and I know there probably aren't a lot of stories a person could tell about such a little person, but there's so much personality in them. And this last year at Christmas, we had a nativity scene in our yard, and every night, Evie would run to the window and say goodnight to Jesus. And, you know, we told her the Christmas story, and there's always this hope that your child's understanding all these great theological things. But ever since Christmas, every figurine she sees or garden statue, she calls Jesus. So,
kind of he didn't get put away when all the Christmas ornaments did. That's good. I like that.
Jesus is everywhere. That's right. Amen.
Very,
sister.
That's right. Thank you, Sarah. That's wonderful. We got a few more minutes. You know, I'm going to have you back, Kendra, because we've barely gotten to talk about your book. I've actually been blessed and amazed at the calls coming in. But this Be the Parent book, I want to reschedule you for June because you've got so much good stuff in here. Can we take Margaret from Duluth, Tim? Can we do that? Okay. Margaret, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. Tell us your story.
When my son was 12 years old, his father and I got a divorce. And money was very tight. We live quite close to a mall. And my son had his first job as a paperboy. And he and I were at the mall shopping for school clothes. And I saw a brown blazer that I looked at. I didn't try it on. I just looked at it. And he said, Mom, buy it for yourself. And I said, no, we're going to buy school clothes for you now. And so we bought his school clothes, went home, and I didn't really think anything more about the brown blazer. But one day I came home from teaching and walked in the door, and he was standing there all excited with a big box. Then he said, open it, Mom, open it. And in the, I'm going to start crying, in the tissue paper was the brown blazer. He had taken his first paycheck from his paper route and bought me that brown blazer.
Good boy.
Yep.
Thank you, honey. That's just awesome. Oh, I love it. That's just beautiful. Thank you, Margaret, so much. We've got a couple more calls coming in, 877-933-2484. So, Kendra, I remember a time when Luke came home from school, grade school, and said, okay, I found out that 5 people in my class are Christians and the janitor's a Christian. And I kind of winced like, oh, how'd you find that out? And the reason I winced is because he was tactless and he was walking single file to the library, turns around, he's in the front of the line. Okay, people, besides me, who here's a Christian? And people start to raise their hand and he's counting them off as if he has the authority. You, okay, I got you. And then the janitor walks by, raises his hand. He's like, yep, uh-huh, you can go.
Get full for Jesus, we call that. Get full for Jesus.
That's right. Then he says, and Johnny, I don't know if you're a Christian. I've seen you on the playground. You might want to go ask your mom. Anyway, so.
And these are people that, did they take you off the Christmas card list, or did they decide that it really wasn't your, it was your son?
You can see where the wince came from, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Adriana, St. Paul, before I take her real quick, I want to give the number. We can only take your calls about another 4 minutes, and then Kendra and I and Tim are going to vote on you, on your, who wins the gift baskets, 877-933-2484. Adriana from St. Paul, welcome to the show.
Yes, I am from Brazil, and my family was very involved with witchcraft. I was brought up as a single, my mom was a single mom, and my in-laws went to Brazil, to this hole in the wall in Brazil, left everything here in the U.S., their comfort, their family, and went there to preach the gospel. And they preached the gospel to my mom, and she got saved, and we got saved, and the whole mix, I got my husband as a gift, and I am so thankful to have them in my life and so thankful that they were so obedient to the Lord to leave everything and go and preach the gospel to the nations. And I'm a result of that, and I just thank him and thank her.
Wow.
And later on in life, I heard her telling my grandchildren that the vision was not even hers. The calling wasn't hers. It was her husband. It was my father-in-law's calling.
Mm-hmm.
But she was the one that reached out to us and showed us love and showed us that we could have a different life in Christ. We could be free.
It's amazing. It's a game changer, you know, to have someone stand in the gap and make a different choice. Adriana, thank you so much. I see one more call coming in. We can maybe take one or two more calls while we wait for those calls to come in. I'm going to pitch the number, 877-933-2484. 2484, you said something great, Kendra, in your book. You said, too often parents have given up their rights and responsibilities because they have lost track of what's true reality. And you said, no child has the skills needed to be a parent. So, you know, talk about that, because you even likened it to us driving and moving over and letting our toddler drive, giving them the wheel. It's just as dangerous, isn't it, to give control to our kids and let them kind of rule the roost.
It really is. You know, John and I were doing a conference, a seminar on the strong-willed child, and we opened it up for questions at the end, and this very great big guy, this daddy, he stood up at the very back of the auditorium, and he said, my wife and I are here. We have one child. She's 3 years old, and she's running the show. It's very honest of him, and usually people aren't quite that straightforward. And John looked at him, and he said, you've got to be the parent. You owe it to your child. She's not old enough to be the parent. And that's really where the title for that book came, just telling this dad, you know, a three-year-old shouldn't be in charge. They don't have the experience. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the wisdom. It's our privilege and our responsibility to be the parent.
And it builds security in their lives, doesn't it? They need that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's so important. And kind of on the same line with that, we were just recently doing an interview talking about how important it is, whenever possible, to have that Christ-centered marriage, which gives them that foundation and that security, too.
Yeah, and that's going to be another show that we have you on to talk about.
Well,
love
I'm getting
your spouse.
All this down, Suze. We'll get
yes.
the dates later.
Yes, we will. Absolutely. June and July, once a month, we're having you back.
There you go.
Yes, and so we're going to listen to another Bill Cosby clip, and we're going to take a vote, Kendra and I and Tim. Woohoo! And I think I already have my ideas in my head. So let's play the Cosby clip and let's take our vote.
Okay.
A mother's greatest weapon, though, is not crying. Mother's greatest weapon is her voice.
Didn't I tell you not?
If that voice is within 30 feet of you, it will decalcify your whole spinal column and you will drop to your knees and say, please, mother, I'd rather you hit me than scream at me. Mothers always say, you're going to drive me to my grave. Fathers always say, I'm going to drive you to your grave.
All right, I think we have our winners here. This was so fun, and where did the time go? Okay, so Heidi, you won. You're one of the winners of the basket. She talked about her mom. The father left, took everything, and that precious mom, stood in the gap and redirected everything. I want to meet your mom, Heidi. I want to meet her bad. And then there's Lois, whose mom is 89 with Alzheimer's, who said to Lois, you must have had a wonderful mom. What do you think of those winners, Kendra?
I love them. And, you know, I wanted to point out, you said these gift baskets were valued at about $50, but I've got a question. Now, did you pack these gift boxes?
I did, and I bought all the stuff except for your book, too.
Okay,
it's my treat.
Let me tell you, packing them by packaging by Susie, priceless.
That's right. Very
And everybody
good.
Gets a book, right?
Everybody who calls gets some kind of book off our Faith Radio shelf. And our friends Heidi and Lois get the gift baskets. We'll get those out. They'll be going out in the mail on Monday. You're going to love them. They're so fun. Well, this was so great, Kendra. And I really do mean that. I want you to come back to talk about Be the Parent. We just have a minute left, and I want to touch on this. You mentioned this in the book about being careful about overusing the wait till you're 18 thing. I hear that so often, and I think it's like abdicating your responsibility. You know what I mean? To say, I don't want to deal with this now. So when you're 18, you can do whatever you want. Talk about the issue of using that 18 or misusing it, I should say.
Well, I think one of the things that parents need to realize is just because your child reaches 18, that doesn't sever the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important. In fact, I was just chatting with a very good friend of mine who has kids about the same age. They were friends of my kids growing up. And we were just basking in the joy that these kids were actually inviting us into their lives as adults. And what I said to Kay is what I've said to many parents. When you take the first 18 years and you are seriously committed to being the parent, you greatly increase your possibility of, for the rest of your life, being chosen as a friend of your kids.
That's so good. And, I think when we say wait till you're 18, I don't want to deal with the moral implications of this now. So when you're 18, you can do whatever you want. It's putting off something later that I think is really scary, because then they put so much weight. And they're still young at 18, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you've got to be guiding them all the way along. You know, I have said to my kids, I remember them telling me they would do it this way. And I said, you know what? Someday you're probably going to be the parent. And then you will get to do it that way if you then think that's best. But right now, mom and dad are in charge. Do it this way.
Exactly. I waited a long time to be the boss. Do what I say. Okay, Lois, you need to call back and give us your address because Derek does not have your address. We want to get you that basket. We have like 1 minute left. I want to talk about saying yes whenever possible. That was another point that I thought was so great in your book that, you know, it's important to discipline and love, but to say yes and not be this authoritarian no all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you say yes, when you can't, too many times parents do it almost like a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
You know, the child, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. And then usually they rescind that and it kind of, they lose their credibility. I remember one particular instance, our phone rang and our middle son was probably about a junior or senior in high school and a really good friend of him, his, who went to another school district had called and said, hey, we don't have school tomorrow and a bunch of us guys are going to go paintballing. Can you go? And Aaron said, oh, golly, we have school tomorrow. And this other friend said, well, go ask your dad anyway. So Aaron came in the front room and he said to us, you know, Mark called, wondered if I could go paintballing because they don't have school. And we said, no, you can't. And so he came back and he said, oh, I can't. And Mark said, go ask him again. And Aaron was dumbfounded. He said, no, honest. When they say no, they mean no.
Mm.
Because why? Because if we could have allowed him to go, if it was a safe thing, if these kids were nice, if there wasn't school, we would have allowed him to go. If you say yes when you can, your no has much more power to it. And it also gives them more opportunities to make some good choices before maybe they even ask you.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, kids despair and get discouraged if you have the authoritarian no, where don't, you know, sit up straight, don't sit like that, don't eat like that, things that are just ridiculous. If we're saying no constantly, I think you exasperate them, don't you?
Yeah, major on the majors. And there are a few majors. One is getting to know Jesus as your friend.
Love that. Excellent. Well, Kendra, the time went by fast, and it was great fun. Thinking about that mom right now who is weary, in need of a fresh touch, and wondering if you'd pray for her.
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, I just lift up all the moms out in Susie's listening audience today. Father God, I pray that you would encourage all of them, whether they came from a family where they feel so enthused about their mom and whether they didn't come from that kind of a family, whether they've created that kind of a family or maybe whether they have children that are hurting them right now. Father, I just pray that you would be so real to them that they would feel your arms of love wrap around them right now and through this whole weekend. I ask these things in your precious name.
Amen. Kendra, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great fun having you with us.
I love it, Susie. I enjoy it, and I love your listeners.
Good, and we're going to have you back soon and talking about this book, Be the Parent.
It's
God bless
deal.
You. All right. Well, we just honor you if you're a mom. And you know what? If you're somebody who's wanted to be a mom, you've struggled with infertility, we bless you, too, and I ask God to comfort you. If you're someone who's experienced loss, we bless you, too, in the name of Jesus. If you're single and you wish you were married, we ask that the Lord would fulfill the desires of your heart. Still, I hope you enjoyed the show today. We had a great time. Lois, congratulations. If you've not called in yet, call back and give us your address so we can get you that gift basket. Otherwise, Tim's going to want to take it home. I'm kidding. And Heidi, congratulations. You also won it. And the rest of you, thank you for calling. Those were great stories. I love the way you honored your moms and people in your life. Well, you know what? You can get a podcast of this show up on the website at faithradionet.com. Love having you listen. And if you know someone who doesn't listen and you think they would benefit from this show, let them know about us. We want to grow our listening audience and we love what God is doing here. We want you to be a part of that because we do believe we're hearing all the time the way God is changing lives through Live the Promise. And we're so glad to be on this journey with you. I want you to tune in tomorrow for the Saturday edition of Live the Promise. Guess who my guest is? Erwin McManus. I can talk. And we'll talk about what it means to seize the power of every moment. He's a best-selling author. He's just a wise and amazing man. A lot of great things to say. So tune in. That's tomorrow, noon to one on the same Faith Radio Network. Well, you know what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And he's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. A special blessing to you moms out there. Thank you for being the unsung heroes, and I pray that you have a special day on Sunday and that you are nourished and nurtured and pampered because you are very special, and we're so grateful that you listen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.